This is Tom Bernard. Can't get enough of sports talk with Phil Mackey and Judd Zolgad? Tune in to the new Tom Bernard Show podcast Monday through Friday as Phil and Judd join me to discuss the latest sports headlines and whatever else comes to mind.
Just download the Tom Bernard Show app wherever you get your podcasts or visit TomBernardShow.com. It's another way to get more from me and Judd talking sports and having fun with Tom. And it's all at your fingertips. Download the Tom Bernard Show app now and join the conversation.
As a business owner, how helpful would it be for you to have employee training and industry resources at your fingertips? That's why Federated Mutual Insurance Company recently launched MyShield, the online client destination for risk management resources. MyShield has resources to help your business with risk management. Already a Federated client? What are you waiting for? Get registered today so you can jump on MyShield through federatedinsurance.com or download the app. If you're not already a client, talk to your Federated marketing rep today. At Federated, it's our business to protect yours.
Oh, it's fun. Crazy. It's painful, but it's wonderful.
What is the name?
It's Royce Unchained.
Patrick, how about limping into the All-Star break?
You didn't take that one in yesterday, did you?
I was I was driving back.
Okay.
From
Iowa.
Iowa with the wife, so I did not.
Well, that was a game where you were driving back from Iowa, you started looking for other games to listen to, Milwaukee or the Cubs or something, right? Wow.
Yes.
It wasn't so bad getting beat 11 to nothing. The hits were 16 to 1. Wow. What was Harry, whatchamacallit, Euchre's characters?
Harry Doyle?
What was Harry Doyle's comment about one? Hit.
One. Yeah. One.
Nobody's listening anyway, he said. So that was right. Yeah, they got an issue. They aren't very good. That's a problem. It's not worth it. I think I'm going to write a column for Wednesday saying, don't do anything. This team is going no place. Don't do anything. It's stupid to use any of your resources on this pitching staff, which sucks, and adding one pitcher is not going to help. When Dylan Bundy is your second best starter, you suck. Okay, and it is your first right now because Sonny Gray's been terrible for, what, three out of the last four.
Yeah.
Joe Ryan, mediocre, just a typical young pitcher. Once he got a few hits off him and they figured out, the guy throws 93. Why am I swinging through this? He's as mediocre as you can get. Yeah. He's a fifth starter if he's lucky. They stink. The pitching staff stinks.
So we stinks?
That we stinks. The pitching staff. The lineup's okay. It's okay. But the pitching staff is terrible. Yeah. Never had a chance to stand up. And adding one reliever or one starter, even a high-octane one, isn't going to help. Let the White Sox win the division by 8 instead of 4. Mm-hmm. Who cares? The White Sox, guess what? Everyone in America picked the White Sox to win this division, mm-hmm. and they're going to be right. They are going to be right because the White Sox are clearly better than this team.
Do you agree with the Mackey plan then, which is if you're going to do what you just said, trade Correa and get assets back because he's going to be gone after this year anyway?
Oh, I would if somebody's going to give me anything, but, who's going to? I mean, the Yankees aren't going to do it. Yeah. Who's going to do it? Who's going to do it? I don't know where he's going to go, Yeah, but if you can get something.
Okay.
Otherwise, just play out the season. Who cares? let him walk. And, who cares? But my theory, they're not very good. There's a crusty old manager out in Maplewood who will tell you it's all about pitching. Yeah. And the pitching sucks, okay? The bullpen sucks.
Get no argument from me.
The rotation sucks. And you can't replace 9 of 13, Joe Smith fools them for 6 weeks, and we think it's real. Joe Ryan fools them for 8 or 10 starts, and we think it's real. It's not real when a guy's throwing 93 and he doesn't have a good breaking ball. They're going to figure it out. Okay, he's got this motion where nobody can pick up his fastball, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, okay, well, they'll watch him, and they'll pick up his fastball, and then he'll have to start – not throwing everything over, and then he'll be 3-2, and then he'll be walking guys, and then he'll be mediocre. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
He's not an ace. He's not even a, you know, he's okay if he's in your rotation. But if you expect him to be a prominent member of your rotation, I mean, it's just not there. It is not there, pitching-wise. I think Wes Johnson quit because he knew this was coming, and he wanted to be in Louisiana. He wanted to be as far away from it as he could get.
Poor Pete Mackey. He looks completely lost yes, whenever they show Pete. Him in the dugout.
Poor Pete. Yeah,
Pete's then, down in the dugout.
And then we get into the then we show – here's the other thing. Our boys show so much confidence in their starters – that the Smelts can go out there and do okay for 3 innings, and we still can't let him face them another time.
I know.
We can't let Archer. How good are your starters when you have to panic if they're going to face the lineup for a third time? How good are they?
Pat, I have no idea. Yeah, I agree.
I mean, this is it. Oh, we're very proud to send Devin Smeltzer out there, but God almighty, if he has to face him a third time, we got to get him out of there. He might get killed by a line drive.
Which they knew they were going to do that like at 2 o'clock in the afternoon,
but they
don't tell the Smelts, hey, no. Here's the game plan.
Plus, they make their pitching decisions at 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Right.
You should make your pitching decisions at the start of the fifth inning, depending on, guess what? What you've seen that evening from the guy. You don't make your pitching decisions at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And it's, analytic, all that. If a guy is struggling,
yeah,
you might not want him to face the third time.
Right.
But, oh, let's wait. I can't wait to rush Trevor McGill in here.
So if I got this right then, far more importantly than Devin Smelter, Barrios and Maeda's fate in the Houston series was basically determined before they ever saw them throw a pitch.
Yes, apparently.
That's what gets me.
Barrios sliding through 6 innings, or five, right?
But magnificent.
Yeah,
like that's what you wanted.
Yes. We got to get him out of there and go to this bullpen, which may...
I'm glad the Smelts broached that, though. Smelts is getting far more responses from Baldelli that are semi-truthful than we've gotten from previous folks that buy into the program.
Yeah. Well, I'm mildly pleased it happened, that this fiasco of a series happened. You send poor Chris Archer out there with a bad hip, and not good, no foundation to pitch because he hasn't pitched for 3 years against Dylan Cease. What happened is exactly what should happen. 11-0. Mm-hmm. 11-0. And Cease, he took it easy. He only struck out 8. He's averaging 13 per 9 innings.
Yeah.
He only struck out 8. He kind of took it easy. You can't win with this collection. I don't think they'll finish 500. I think when it comes, it's coming, and it might have come already because it's who's going to get you to the finish line? Sonny Gray is okay. What's going on there?
Right.
What if he's mediocre?
Yeah.
If he's mediocre, that means you got 3 mediocres, 1 mediocre, and 4 not mediocres.
I have so many questions. Uh-huh. So help me out with this one. You've known for a long time what your approach to the starting pitchers has been and will continue to be, okay? So how do you not have a better bullpen knowing that that is going to be essentially the lifeblood? I mean, for lack of a better term, the twin starters are basically openers plus.
Most of them, yeah.
I mean,
they'll let Sonny Gray go 6 if he will, but...
Right, but I mean, Smelts was...
And Ryan, they won't hook, I don't think, early, but he's getting hooked early.
That's true.
For performance. But, yeah, I mean, it does drive me crazy that you don't wait to see how decisions shouldn't be made before you see how a guy is throwing that evening, because guess what? There's a lot of history in baseball that tells you pitchers are not the same every night. This goes back to 1876, that the pitchers are not the same every night. So let's see how he is before we decide, well, I got to get his ass out of there after two times through the order, man, because they're, you know, because the numbers say, well, what if he's cruising, you know? So, and, but the other thing is, their bullpen ERA was the best in baseball through 6 weeks or something like that. Okay. Joe Smith seems like a nice fella. Been in the league forever.
Yep.
But you watch that and say, this can't work. This can't be. He's going to, the rest of the season, 2 out of 5 times you're going to get hammered with that stuff. And now it's probably looks like 4 out of 5. But what I'm saying is, at best, he's going to get them out 3 out of 5, right?
Yes.
And he dazzled them for 6 weeks, but he's throwing from here and it goes, coming. I'm making a motion here. It comes, yep. And when it stays up there, they go, whoosh.
Juan Moncada saying, thank you very much.
That's right. Juan, who's hitting 190, wants more games against the
average
Twins.
Doesn't matter one bit. We've learned that now.
No, we got a starting center fielder.
Buxton's the starter.
Did he get a hit yesterday? I think he got a
hit. No, they got one hit, right?
Oh, that's right.
Kirilloff got it.
Kirilloff. So they're, he was up to he was all the way up to 215 the other day, though. And then he
got, average doesn't matter anymore.
He's playing center
field. Try to tell you, Pat. Average doesn't matter.
We pay no attention to
starting center fielder in the All-Star.
He's a 216.
Yep.
0-for-2, struck out twice.
Trout, I think, dropped out. So yes
that was a shock, wasn't it?
Back spasms.
Yeah, I got a back spasm.
Yeah.
Which will avoid. I don't have to make that long trip to Dodger Stadium.
Back and tighten up.
Played 3 innings, yeah, that, you know, on that freeway.
The 405, your back tightens up right away.
Yeah, what if we get you a helicopter? No, thank you. No, thank you. What do we got? 20 guys pulled out, right?
Oh, is that what it is?
I think it's 20.
Honestly.
Between them not pitching on, between them not pitching, having pitched Sunday and bailing out.
I honestly don't care.
You know what I'm sick of? Little kids being brought out to take advantage of, too.
Tonight, home run derby.
Oh, yeah, we got little kids
sprinkle
all
them
over.
Around.
Sit them in the stands and let them watch and get rid of them. Okay? That's, you know.
Watch out for that Diet Coke.
We don't need kids. We don't need all these kids.
This is classic Royce.
We don't
this
need
is
all
old
these
school
kids.
Royce when
don't
I was
need
a youth.
All these kids scattered all over the damn
when
field.
When Such was trying to tell you, be nice to kids, and you're like, we don't need kids.
No, we don't. When they used to call and we used to tell them to shut up and hang up and you know. Yeah, it is. I got another thing that's
good.
Really worried me about baseball.
Yeah.
We got Richardson Woods.
Yeah.
And then we got an Encarnacion Strand.
Okay.
Hyphenated names in baseball. I don't like them. Box score. I want to see what the name is in the box score. How are you going to put that in a box score?
Got to seriously abbreviate that.
I'm going to tell you, baseball rule. You only get one last name. That's all you get.
Can you put the hyphenated name in the back?
Can we just do this in general, too? Do we have to have the damn hyphenated name?
No, we don't. Take a choice.
I agree.
I'm not saying you got to have your dad's name. Take mom's name.
My mom didn't change hers.
Take some name off someplace else, but don't give me two of them.
My mom didn't change hers.
So, like, for guys?
Didn't want to do it.
Just guys or across the board?
No, like, none of them.
Women,
no.
I can see when they get married, they want to hyphenate. I have no problem with that. But I'm with you on guys. Let's just have one.
Yeah. No, I'm with you on women, too. Keep your maiden name, whatever. My wife kept the name of her ex-husband, you know, so for business purposes. But whatever it was. Or just because she liked him better. I don't know which it is, but anyway. Who cares? But just one.
I'm
just
with you on box scores and jersey hyphenation.
Yes, we need. Yeah, we don't need Encarnacion.
Like, does that thing go start on your the left and then just work its way down
baseball
the jersey?
Baseball's going to have to do what they did in the, was it the XFL, the first XFL? When they just
had
came
the names.
Up with nicknames on the back.
He hate,
he hate me.
Me.
He hate me.
That was a Rod Smart.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He hate me.
Yeah. Was that what the guy's name was?
Yeah, it was Rod. In fact, he played for Philadelphia as a cornerback.
That's what made him famous, man.
Oh, it's genius.
He hate me. He hate me.
Absolutely.
Anyway,
genius.
They were lucky they squeezed that one out Saturday. And the Lance,
they tried to blow that
Lance
one,
Lynn decided to give up three in one inning. But... I don't, you know, the lineup's okay. I mean, it's not, I don't have a problem with the lineup. And but you can't win. You can't pitch. You can't pitch. They can't pitch. And don't look at the big number that, oh, they're fifth in the league in pitching. Look at the bodies. Look who they're sending out there. This guy's, you get to a big game in September.
Yeah.
And you're going to Chicago and you're going to pitch Joe Ryan, the Smelts, and who the hell else? Bundy or somebody? You got no chance. You got no chance. You got, all you got to do is look in the paper and see how often you're favored.
Yeah.
You know, when,
yep.
You know, when those teams in the early 2010s were losing 90, they were beating the odds. They should have lost 120. They were under. They'd go on a road trip for a week. They would never be favored. Mm-hmm. They would never be favored with the pitchers they were running out there. And, you know, same thing here. You know.
So how is it that guys who were supposed to be pitching savants?
I don't know. Can't have any pitchers here. Blazevic was the man 3 years ago. He's the worst pitcher in St. Paul, which is a distinction because they stink too, pitching wise. They don't have any pitchers.
Right.
They got about four pitchers in the top two levels of the organization. You know, Winder, who I got a little hope for him still, although he was, you know, his problem is he's pitched about 70 innings in 3 years because of the whole
But we were supposed
league.
To be a pitching factory
yeah,
by
we
now.
We were.
Trading man, them left and right because we had too many.
We were a pitching factory. But here's the other thing. Okay. You want me to really go off here, Declan? Stop being
yep, I'm
stop,
ready.
Stop being so restrained.
Stop being so restrained.
Yeah, you got it.
We surprised America by getting a shortstop number 8, a switch hitting short. It's baseball. If it's not Ken Griffey Jr. or A-Rod in the draft, it doesn't make any difference. You're taking this shortstop and, oh, wow. Some people thought he'd go 5th and he went 8th. Look out now. We got him going. You know, could be he's a player. Just as good a chance that some guy in the 5th round's a player. It's baseball. It's a complete and utter crapshoot. You have to get better 5 times to make it in baseball. This isn't some, you know, number 8 choice in the NFL draft who's 6'6 and 3'10 and plays left tackle and can fall down and block people. You have to hit a flying object. And there's no guarantee that this guy is any better than some 6th rounder. You know, now I will say this. There's more information on these guys when they're drafting them than there used to be 10, 12, 15 years ago. I was telling somebody this today. Tommy Nevers, who ended up being a 1st rounder, Edina, you know, great
Houston, yeah.
Great kid, good hockey player, great. He ended up being a 1st rounder. I went out to see him play a game for Edina.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of April, it was 35 degrees. There were 25 scouts in the stands. He batted 4 times. He walked 3. And they hit him 4 balls, and he, you know, hit him 4 balls in 6 innings or maybe 3 balls, and he threw him to first base. And they're going to file their scouting report. I don't even think he took BP that day. Might have. But I mean, now they get to see these guys in showcases and, right. You know, they start seeing them right. When they're 14 years old.
Here's what I don't get, though. What I didn't get last night was why my Twitter timeline was filled with media people all excited about the pick. Like, I get the team trying to sell. Hey, we're excited. But don't you got to offer a word?
Because we got a bunch of homers. In my opinion.
Unfortunately, that would probably be, well, not everybody, but there's, but I was, I saw all of these, you know, the Twins are thrilled by what they got. They're unbelievable that, that they cherry picked these two. Nobody expected them to, it's the most cliche draft strategy of all time.
Yeah, it is. It's a,
we're falling apart at the All-Star break. Don't look at that. Look at our draft picks
who are, well, it's amazing to, I watched for some reason, I don't know why. Because there wasn't a new Masterpiece Theater on.
You were watching the draft?
Masterpiece Mystery. I watched the first 10 picks, maybe.
Okay.
But these guys commenting, well, you know, they could, the Texas could put Rocker in their bullpen this year. Why? They're 12 games out of 500 and 60 games out of first place. Why would they do that, dummies? Right. You know, oh, we're going to get you excited about this guy. And then the high school kids, oh, they can really use a shortstop. Yeah, okay. Wake me up at 2028.
When he's at third base.
Yeah, right.
Or left field.
He's an 18-year-old kid. Well, he might not be able to hit. It's the baseball draft. It's meaningless.
Right.
Unless you go. But if you show me Ken Griffey Jr., I'll say, okay, I saw that kid when he was 19 or 18 in Phoenix after his first spring when they had to put him in the big leagues. They had no choice. And A-Rod. But there's most of them are, you know, maybe, maybe not. They're just this idea that, oh, we fooled them, you know.
I know.
Really. You know, boy, did I get in trouble on Twitter, though.
Yeah, you did.
Oh, yeah.
They didn't see that your shift sarcasm.
That was a funny. I do not have a sarcasm emoji, and if I did, I wouldn't use it.
I don't think there really is a good one.
No, there isn't.
So I pointed out that four of the first five were brothers, and that we got to get more white guys playing baseball. You know.
Right.
That's funny. Because we're always complaining that no black guys play baseball, and we got all of that. We're doing the opposite. See, that's sarcasm. You say the opposite of what the truth is. So, and they went nuts. They went, we can't have race mentioned in jokes. Well, baseball, you can. I can't. I don't care. You know. I did have to end up explaining it, though.
I did see your explanation.
I finally had to say, okay, idiots. We've been, for 20 years, we've been lamenting the loss. That Henry Aaron and Willie Mays and all these guys would have been football players or basketball players in the modern society, right? All the greatest players of my youth, the greatest baseball team ever assembled, the 1965 All-Star game. You had, Ernie Banks, Willie Mays, Henry Aaron, Willie Stargell. That was the starting outfield. And Bob Gibson. Mm-hmm. And that was baseball. These were the guys. They were the reason. The black guys were the reason the National League kicked the hell out of the American League for 20 years.
I remember that.
So I'm making fun of it. Okay. Leave me alone. I'm old.
But every day somebody wakes up, a group of people wake up and say, who can I cancel today?
Yes. Yeah. Well, they ain't canceling me because I can tell you to go bleep yourself.
Well, then see your...
Because I know what the motive was. To be funny.
Mm-hmm.
And irreverent.
Yeah, Twitter's hard.
Plus, I got Lavelle. I'm his Uncle Pat. He'll defend me. So
yep. And he wrote something on Sunday about what you were talking about.
Yes, right. He actually did. Yeah. Buxton's good for baseball. Yeah, so I might not, it is fun to see a great athlete like that not playing football. But what is wrong with you? Now, Kyler Murray, I can see what he did. I mean, he went and got the money earlier.
Right.
But if the NFL is going to draft you in the fifth round and not pay you any money, Might as well play baseball and try to play 15 years, right? Instead of,
I think it's the prospect of the bus rides for
that's
4 or 5 years that chases guys away.
Oh God, yes, it does.
Because that's the problem.
Yeah, I don't think it's the game. Well, it could be the game. I mean, what was the time for these weekend fiascos? The other night, I called Phil. Friday night, I called Phil in the bottom of the third because I wasn't there and said, hey, Phil, I just wanted to update you. It's the bottom of the third. It had to be an hour and 20 minutes.
Yeah.
It was unbelievable.
Oh, I know. Those games took forever. I finally turned it off when I was driving home from Iowa yesterday, I think in after 8. I can't take this anymore. One, it sucks, but two, it's never going to end.
No, it never was going to end. I don't know. Outside of that, hey, we're in first place. Go get them, fellas.
I was going to say, are you going to sell the, hey, they're, you know what, they're in first place. It's still a great first half. No one expected this. That's the Rocco talking. You know,
no,
I think
one
we all would have taken
this because we thought the White Sox would show up before the 4th of July. The White Sox, what is the stat in the last 4 games against the Twins? 41 runs or something
like that.
Yeah.
Oh, I did the math on that.
They're starting to hit.
I think the Twins had 10 runs, right, in the entire series and 6 on Saturday. 32-10.
In this series.
But
then the last game in Chicago, didn't they have 9 or 10?
And in the 4 games, the starters and bullpen, both 15 earned runs apiece.
For the Twins?
Yep.
Well,
Smith didn't count. The runs you gave up Thursday were unearned of an error.
Friday night.
Yeah.
Who was scoring?
I was gone by then.
They hit a ground ball to Urshel and they called it a hit.
Oh, boy.
What the hell? It was a free hopper. What the hell?
That doesn't sound like
Stewie. It's not an error.
That doesn't sound like Stewie.
If it hops up 3 inches,
yeah,
that doesn't make it an error. I have really watched my behavior in the press box. I wasn't there, but about, you know, taking the Lord's name in vain when somebody gives away a free hit very loudly.
Yeah, which you've been known to do.
Well, I have, but.
You've been known to express your disgust.
If I would have been in the press box for that one, I would have been let out a big JC, you know, somebody's got to. God almighty.
Yeah, we that's not how the press box works now, Pat.
We can't be changing everything to a hit.
The press box is a much quieter, church-like place now than it used to be.
Too much optimism for this team. We got.
You know what this team needs?
More pessimism.
This team needs free beer in the back of the press box.
Yeah, right.
We got to loosen things up for the second half.
Right, that's true.
Pat, it was a $8 beer night for a season ticket holder appreciation.
Wow.
Last Thursday.
Thanks for telling me.
Way
I was
to
there.
Go.
I come down and gotten
I got a beer, and he said $8. And I said, excuse me? And I did not know the promotion was going on. He said,
so what was your limit?
Like, how many did I have?
No, how many $8 beers could you have? Oh, endless?
Endless. Yeah.
Oh, God.
And I did not know this was a promotion until I got in I'm sorry, Judd. I got a Surly Supreme, and you said
$8. Why wouldn't you have known? Like, but why wouldn't they make sure you knew?
It was 40%. I should have known. I just, you know, I don't read my
emails. You were getting your season ticket holder discount anyway.
But it was for the one game on Thursday, the ass kicking, which was...
No, but what I'm saying is that they knew you were a season ticket holder because you were going to get the 10% off.
It was 40% off for the season ticket holder night.
You can't afford not to drink.
Yeah.
Exactly. Right.
$8 beers!
Yeah. I couldn't believe it.
That's good. That's what they should... I still think the best thing they could do is cut beer prices. Although the crowds, the homestand had good crowds. You know, you can't complain. 37, 38, and then the Whiteys were, 27 to 30?
Yeah, that wasn't bad.
Not bad.
What did they draw yesterday for the last game?
Couldn't tell you.
Look big.
Let me see here if I got it still. Look fairly big. 23.
That's all?
225, yeah.
Wow, that's terrible.
Yep.
You know
that's not good. Fans were down on
them. What the hell is that? Could have been the heat, too. They always have an excuse. The heat or something. I don't think we can't do what they say in Philadelphia when they have a lousy cloud. Everybody went to the shore. You know, everybody goes to the shore.
Well, we got Brainerd.
We do. Everybody went to the...
Got the cabins.
Pat, I spent Friday night catching up on that latest Blackbird show that you were telling me about. And, oh, my God.
Is that good?
It is incredible. The Larry Hall might be one of the most unsettling, terrifying, quiet characters I've ever seen in television.
Well, he was Richard Jewell.
Yeah, he was
that
Richard Jewell.
That's good. For the next 15 years, mm-hmm. every producer of every TV show, they say, we need a chubby guy who's slightly off.
He's great.
You know, who's slightly off. Get me Larry. Because Richard Jewell, I mean, he just amped up his Richard Jewell, basically.
Yeah.
But he is great who's the main guy? The lead guy.
He was in
I've seen him, but I can't remember.
Did you see Kingsman in 2014?
Yeah, I couldn't make it. I watched part of it.
He's the main guy in Kingsman. He's pretty. Ray Liotta's his dad, the late.
And
Ray,
boy, when
great.
You see Ray in that, yeah. you're not surprised he's no longer with us. He looks rough, yeah. man. He looks. I thought maybe if you would have seen the movie before he was dead, you would have thought they were having him look like this.
Right.
But he looked tough, man. He was. I think he knew there was something wrong with him. But he was great. Yeah. But you know what? The wife and I, she finally talked me into it. Now she's not sure, but Severance.
Oh, I've been meaning to try it. Yeah.
It's very popular, and I do not like this stuff. I do not like science fiction or whatever you want to call it, you know, hogwash, you know, whatever it is. But wasn't bad. I got a hunch it might be pretty good. But you got Blackbird, way better than The Old Man. The Old Man's okay, but The Old Man is not nearly, everybody's raving about The Old Man, but The Old Man's not nearly as good as Blackbird. Blackbird's terrific.
Yeah.
So, much better than watching the Twins pitch, that's for sure.
And Ted Lasso's just okay. It's not a bad show, and it's not epic. It's not great. It's just an okay show.
I'm done.
It's just
I'll
okay.
I'll never watch it. I watched four episodes. I watched three, tweeted out and says, what's wrong with you people? This isn't funny. And then I said, oh, everybody gave me hell, so I tried.
You know what?
I've tried two more.
There's too much now. I'm overwhelmed. I can't do any of it now. There's too much. I feel like it consumes you.
Well, plus, it's hard to keep track of because the wife and I will start watching something and say, did we see this already?
Or is it on Netflix or on...
Yeah,
where is it, too? Apple.
Yeah, you got to write those down.
Hey, how about golf?
Wow, Declan was the first guy on the mullet bandwagon, Cameron Smith.
I'm not surprised by that, yeah.
Man.
Savvy golf guy.
You know,
yeah, me too.
People are, Rory, Rory took 36 putts.
Yep.
He two-putted 18 straight greens. You ain't going to beat this kid.
Nope.
Two-putting 18 straight greens. Rory can't putt. This guy is one of the great rollers of all time. Right now, you don't know. It can come and go.
Right.
But damn, is he good. He is just a putting maniac mm-hmm. on those greens too. The secret to great putting is get it to the hole, and too many guys try to wobble it in there. He's always got two rolls left when he makes his putt, two or three rolls.
Yep.
And they always said this about Watson. Watson, I've said this before, was the greatest putter ever, Tom Watson, and the reason was. He never missed a five-footer, so he could try to make it, and if he missed it, so what? If he missed his birdie putt because it went a little bit by 5 feet, he always made the comeback.
And then
he started missing the comebackers, and then he couldn't putt. Then he got wobbly, and he couldn't putt anymore. But, boy, is this kid rolling. Wow.
And the thing with his game is, you know, when you're an elite putter like him, he is, you know, and of course everyone knows this, doesn't take a golf savant to know. Elite putting can make up with just about every other deficiency. If you're at driving, if you're not good with your short game, but if you're an elite putter, it can make up for all that stuff. His game's good. Mm-hmm. His game is really, really good.
Well, Spieth was great. Why? For 4 years? He's the best punter on the planet. That's mm-hmm. why. Then he stopped being the best putter on the planet. And then all of a sudden, all those other weaknesses, length and not being the most accurate driver, that all came into play for him. But when he was rolling it, he was fantastic. But this guy, I think this guy's better than Spieth at his maximum when Spieth was making a lot of putts. Because this guy was there was two or three times saying he's had the, what, 18-footer, and you'd say, this SOB might make it. And he did.
Yeah.
And he did. And meanwhile, Rory's, you know, I always, Tom Lehman, I love Tom Lehman. I followed him all over. But I always said the official battle cry of the Tom Lehman gallery was, ooh, you know, because it looked like it might go in, but it didn't go in.
Right.
Same thing with McIlroy. Looks like it might go in, doesn't go in. Cameron Smith, looks like it might go in, it goes in. And that was a beating. This is a great story, by the way. I was talking to Brian Stensis, you know, yesterday about noon, about something else. And he said, hey, the media, the PGA Tour's media site, which is just for the media only, says that Cameron Smith is going to, you know, is committed to play at the 3M Open. So I texted him later in the day and said, he's not playing there now. He said, for sure, because it was Cameron Davis. They typed it wrong.
Oh, no.
They typed it wrong.
Oh, boy.
I said, that's like saying the Timberwolves traded for LeBron James and then say, no, wait, it was Mike James.
Yeah.
You know, it was, I knew it, Cameron Davis, because, you know, I'm saying that the guy who won the British Open's not, you know, he's
right.
He's going to take the week off, and then it turned out to be Cameron Davis, who's not a terrible player.
Did you see the meme this morning, Pat, of him flying commercial, Cam Smith flying commercial, and he has the trophy in its case, and he puts it in the overhead bin above him.
Really?
That fit.
Yeah, you put it right in there. Someone snapped him a photo of him in first class, putting
don't
it in the overhead bin. Yeah, you can't check that.
You don't want to check that thing.
No, you got to take it with you because you got to get it back.
Yeah.
They give you a...
The claret jug goes back?
The claret jug goes back. Sure. Yeah. Now, you can get a duplicate, but you got to pay for it. I think you got to pay for it yourself. And it wouldn't be
when
ready.
When did Tom win it?
Oh, Christ. Oh, shucks.
I think you can do oh, Christ.
When would it have been? I don't know, but I was up to his dad's.
Because you went, right?
His up. Not when Tom won it.
Oh, you did?
No,
okay.
Not that time.
Okay.
I was over there when he was in the Ryder Cup in Spain, but when I went up to, I was up there and I went to see his dad, and his dad's the greatest guy ever, Jim. He's deceased now, but great St. John's running back who ended up playing in the NFL briefly for the Colts and stuff, great, outstanding golfer. But he and the wife had a little home up on the same lake that Jim Pete, when they singled, Jim Pete had a home down below them. With a dock, and but they had the claret jug there that day when I went up and saw them there. Tom wasn't around, but the claret jug was hanging out at the their house, so all the friends were coming over and looking at it, and Jim would smoke his pipe and have a cocktail out on the porch and check out Jim's latest guests.
In the heat of winter,
in the heat of summer. It was great. But he was a good guy. I walked around with him 5 or 6, 7, 8 tournaments, and this was when you could still see the pipe smoker. You could still see the, if you were looking for him, you could see the little spray.
One of the great smells.
Oh yes, you could,
ever the pipe.
And then of course they started eliminating smoking on the golf courses, but you could.
Yep.
You could, oh, he's over there, because you could see the pipe smoke go up in the air. So, yeah, great guy, yeah. But, that was a hoof, man. But Tom hit it closer to the hole than anybody in the world for about 5 years, including Tiger, but he wasn't a putter. You know, he wasn't a terrible putter, but he wasn't a...
Right.
He was like Rory. He didn't make enough to win as often as he could have. So, you know, he won... I think he only won 4 or 5 PGA events, but he was in the last group at the U.S. Open 4 straight years. I think 4 straight years, 3 for sure.
Yeah, he had a great run.
Yeah, he did.
He had a fantastic one, yeah.
His approach game was just beyond belief. But
Tiger done now, you think, Pat?
Yeah, I think so. He might play again, but
right.
As far as winning. By the way, I put this out on Twitter, too. 2003, I was covering the PGA at Oak Hill because we just had it and we were excited about the PGA. And Timmy Herron was in contention most of the week. So I was walking around. I probably watched him play for 2 hours every day before it got serious at the end as who was going to be ahead. And his wife was carrying around this baby that was a moose. It's just a big, thick baby. With her friend, she would hand the big, thick baby to her friend who'd carry it for a while, or nanny, I don't know which. Turned out that was Carson, who just qualified for the U.S. Amateur, great player at New Mexico. But he's 6'4 and trim. He ain't the lump junior, that's for sure, but that was that baby, you know, that she was carrying around. It was only 3 weeks old.
Wow.
Yeah, had to be a 10-pounder at least.
And Carson's named after his grandfather?
Actually, the senior Carson was Carson Lee Herron. This was great-grandpa.
Mm-hmm.
But great-grandpa went by Lee. He was always in the if you look back in the media, it was Lee Herron.
Okay.
And then Carson, the old man, who's one of the great characters of all time, and a really good player, was Carson, and then Tim. And then this Carson, and the four generations of Herons have qualified for the U.S. Amateur. So,
okay.
And, you know, that, I mean, Carson had to finish in the top two at Stony Brook, so two out of 30-some or something, so to qualify for the. But he went to New Mexico, which is his dad's alma mater, and I guess he can hit it out of sight, too, like most of them right now. So that's, and Aunt Alyssa played in, she counted them up, 12 U.S. amateurs.
I think women. She's around my age. She was women, really dominant.
She's good. Well, back in the day, there used to be up at Grandview at the Pines, the guy who ran it, owned it. He was the Cote family owned it for years, COTE, but he was married to a Cote. Freddie Booze. I always called him the aptly named Freddie Booze when I talked to him because Freddie liked his cocktails, but Freddie was a great, great guy. Loved golf, loved to win.
Mm-hmm.
And they had the Fred Mark tournament every year where they would play foursomes. And Mark was Mark Rane, who was running the place, and Fred. But Fred would get Alyssa to play from the women's tees in his group. And, you know, they'd be hitting 20-yard shots, everybody. And then everybody goes up and plays their ball and, you know.
Right.
You know.
That's smart.
You know, yes. But he was also a sandbagger. But he wanted to win. I played in his group once, never invited back. He and I loved each other, but he watched my game and said, no, thank you.
If you want to win,
you're fired. They're not having me in there. So what else we got going? Are we worried about Kaprizov?
We don't know what to think.
It's gotten quiet.
Shooter actually talked to Leopold about it, and Leopold gave him a little bit of, you know, we're hopeful, blah, 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 but then said, Bill Guerin's my guy or my source, and Bill Guerin said not to really talk about it.
Yeah, well, I would say don't talk about it.
Well, which is smart, right. But, I mean, so
don't irritate him.
The problem is we don't know if it's just a short-term thing, if he's being investigated. No clue about that.
Yeah, it's...
So until he's here,
I talked to Louis about another thing, and Louis said, as much as Putin loves hockey, he's a hockey nut, does he really want to do this? Because he pin a gold medal on Kaprizov at some world tournament?
Yeah, and he and Ovechkin are buddies.
Yeah, yeah, but who knows?
My concern is that Putin's lost it. And,
yeah,
and
he
that
has
that
lost it, and he somehow thinks he can exert influence on, or just steal some of his money, maybe they're trying to do.
It could be absolutely fine.
Yeah, it could be.
It could be absolutely, but they're smart. The Wild's smart enough. There's no advantage to talking about this.
Probably there's a bunch of guys in his situation, supposedly.
My guess is the league said just
shut up about it.
Skip over it.
Because if we, if we start telling them what to do,
right?
They're,
there's nothing that you're going to say that's going to improve the prospect of him being back here by training camp.
I did a thing for tomorrow on the Frankie for Musil.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
The defection.
Did you remember, and I did remember this, that Bob Bruce and Denny the photographer went along?
I'd forgotten that.
They were on the trip, and Robbie Lear lined it up, and Bruce took the thing. So we got a little of that competition in the column tomorrow, too.
So where were they? In the car?
With them. They were with Louis. They were with Louis the whole day.
That's an assignment that I might not be
on. Well, that'd be like 2 months earlier, Bruce said to Lear, who was out there annoying him, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah, Robbie was.
Robbie was great. But, hey, okay, you guys can send a team. I'm going to get him, Musil. We're going to get him this summer.
Louis.
You guys can send a team, but you got to be ready to go on 24 hours notice. And, you know, they did. And then when they got to New York on the way back, they got to London. Louis put Kaprizov and his agent, not Kaprizov, Frankie himself and the agent on the
Concord.
$2,400 a pop.
Woo.
They had to call Stan and say, "What do you think?" He says, "Stay on the story." So they flew back on the KSDP crew flew back on the Concord.
Interesting. No, I had no idea about
that
part.
Those were the days, my friend.
Oh, my goodness.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, the Strip probably would have happily spent that to get that story.
Oh, yeah. Robbie got them. They got Louis. Because Louis wanted a cameraman there to I didn't get into the whole thing, but when they were in Zagreb at the U.S. consulate, they weren't going to help him. And he said, "Well, we got a TV crew out here right here. You want me to tell them that the U.S. consulate won't, Dave Dirdberger got him. Basically got him out. He was a U.S. senator then, and got him
Louis
on the plane.
Such a beaut.
Got him on the plane. Yeah, the stories are I mean, it could have been a novel, but
also could have been a disaster.
Yeah, it was. But Louis was going to put him in a trunk and crash through the border if he had to, which some of his companions didn't think was a really good idea because it's Croatia, basically, is where they were dealing with him.
Yep.
And, shares the border with Italy up way up north. So, anyway, it was fun. There's no way you're getting anybody out like that anymore. You got to go to legal matters.
You have to, yeah.
No.
Hey, how about Cott? How does Cott, at his age, still look so damn good?
And sounds so good. And
he still
sounds. The mind is still sharp.
I know.
83 and a half.
It's remarkable.
He's still 6'4". He walks. I was waiting for him Thursday. He walks off the elevator, and he's towering above there. And the firm and hearty handshake. And when he starts talking, the mind is just as quick as can be. You know what? There's a lot of Dutchmen, the German, Dutch, Holland guys. They live a long life if they don't dissipate too much, I think, to some degree. And he's certainly got the good genes, that's for sure.
Because he still sounds the same, basically.
He does. He's still great, and I got a whole notebook full of stuff that I got to go through here because I talked to him for like only 40 minutes, but I could have written two chapters of a best of baseball book on it because the story just...
So was Costas there or was he just...
Costas, they did on... I talked to him Friday morning.
Okay.
He let me... I mean, Jim gave me his cell phone and I texted him and he said, "Yeah, call me at this time." But they just had a message on the board.
Okay.
It was not. That was weird that it was for a day game.
Yeah, I know.
This has got to be the first number that they've retired for a day game. I would have thought they would have done it on
Tuesday. Because Mauer was a Saturday night game, right?
Yeah, I thought they'd maybe do it on a Tuesday night or a Friday night instead of an afternoon game. But, he looked great, man. And it's, I mean, I think he was surprised, but he thought he had hope because there was, he talked to a couple of guys, and they said, this committee's taking a better look at longevity than they have in the past. He pitched 25 years.
Yep.
Pitched.
Well, I also think Baines going in changes things.
He did. I think that he kind of agreed with that.
It's hard to hold people out with Baines in. Baines is a nice player, but.
But it's still tough because they got 10 people on a ballot, and you can only vote for four, and they got to get 12, you know, as he pointed out to me when he talked to Dick Allen's wife.
That was a really
nice little
intriguing anecdote.
And you know, he said, one of those ballots has Dick Allen and not me. It's the other way around, right. You know. So Dick Allen will get in next time.
Was Dick a decent guy then?
He said he's a hell of a guy. But he's a teammate. But he was kind of, when he first came up, he had some issues. Everybody who was around him with the White Sox loved him, you know, because he's a hard ass, but a great teammate. But he's not going to sit down and tell the media guys his life story.
Right.
But he was.
Greatest SI cover of all time, which I think is on your Twitter.
Yeah, with the juggling the ball.
And a cigarette.
Smoking the
cigarette. God, it's great.
Baseball back then, man.
Let's make guys smoke again. Let's add some character back to this.
That's right. Hockey, too.
Let's have a rise. Lighten up before an at-bat.
Smoking in baseball, that's one thing. That's great. That's admirable.
Right.
Right?
Smoking in hockey.
Admirable. Smoking in hockey.
It's a passion for the cigarette.
You got Iron Constitution, Dennis Savard, the fastest guy in the NHL, flying all over, going in and having three heaters between periods. I mean, you got to give him credit.
LaFleur. Who's passed.
Yeah.
But those French-Canadian players, they could toke up, baby, between periods.
I go back far enough to have interviewed them while they're having a heater at the locker room, at the locker after the game. It was great. It was great. Well, Reed always says that, you know, they'd all, rush in between periods. And he didn't smoke, but the smokers all, they'd have.
Can you imagine that? You get done exerting yourself and the first thing.
They'd have a couple, but between periods.
Yeah, I know.
They'd have one or two. He was telling me Blair was like exhausted. He'd go out, he'd lay on the floor with some equipment and tell them how horse bleep they were. he was exhausted from his craziness, and playing with that guy. I mean, playing for that guy, and then seeing the modern approach to things.
God.
I mean, he was nuts. He'd figure out stand on the boards and turn around. Reed said he'd turn around with his arms folded, looking at the crowd when he was mad, and somebody from the crowd, he's like, "Hey, Ren, the game's back there." He says, "I know what's going to happen. They're going to give up a goal."
That's outstanding.
Yeah. Well, you had him. He came after Van Brocklin, but Van Brocklin was certifiable.
Yep.
The twin, and then
Norm smoked, right?
Oh, yeah. God, yes.
Van Brocklin on the sideline?
That's what I thought. And you had him, and then you had
Billy.
Then you had Billy in 69. Quite a decade. You had Blair, Van Brown. You could do a 3-man Mount Rushmore on those three lunatics.
Safe to say that back then, no advanced metrics departments.
I've told you this.
Here's who you should play.
Yes,
bleep you.
Yeah, these. Blair is. The story I love is Marouche's his assistant, and they'd have practice, and Ren wouldn't show up because he'd be drinking all night, till in his office, drinking till 2, and Marouche would get him down there, and they'd be telling stories on the bench, and about the time that they knew that Blair'd be showing up, he'd blow the whistle about every 20 seconds, just because they knew he wasn't going to walk upstairs to see what was going on.
Oh, God.
So he did. Tweet. Then somebody, shoot a puck. So
right.
They pound
just
one.
Just go out there and skate so that the sound of the.
Pound, skate.
On ice.
Stuff. Yeah. Right.
That's great.
Yeah. But, that sport was, I said this the other day, but it was amazingly mom and pop operation. You go on a road.
Oh, yeah.
You had Ren. Marouche didn't go on a road. The assistant coach didn't go on a road. I don't think. I think he just coached here. Blair and Doc Rose.
Yeah.
And one of them would go to the hotel with the team, and Doc would take the equipment to the, but Doc made the travel arrangements.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. And he was the trainer, so if a guy got hurt, he'd come. You know, when Gump would take a whole slap shot to the face, he'd come out and be like, okay, you're screwed.
Yeah.
Let's bring in Maniago.
I see Cheryl's upset. The league is not treating her with respect. Did you see this?
I did see that.
What was our flight? We had a game on, we had a back-to-back.
Okay.
We beat Mighty Indiana, which is the worst
team. We're back.
But then Saturday, their flight got delayed.
All right.
They were flying to Washington.
Yeah.
From Indianapolis, and their flight got delayed. And apparently they didn't get to their hotel till 2 in the morning or something. And Cheryl wanted to move the game, which was 1 in the afternoon or something. And they wouldn't do it. And she did one of her tirades.
Don't baseball teams get into town at 3 in the morning and play?
Yes, they do. But all right. This is basketball.
All right.
Cheryl can complain. She's a very good complainer.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, our Aurora.
Yeah.
Are on the verge of winning the pre-professional championship of the world.
Okay.
Sellout crowd for the championship game. I just saw they tweeted.
Excellent. We already sold it out.
Sellout crowd.
What if I wanted a ticket? I couldn't get a ticket.
Press pass. No, you got to know somebody.
Good for them. Okay. That's awesome.
Yes.
Great story.
Who are we playing? Some academy from I think
Green Bay?
Tampa? It's some weird.
Didn't we play some academy yesterday in the national semifinals? I think it was an academy, wasn't it?
Yes.
It wasn't a city.
It's a weird. I saw the thing and I was very, very confused on who it was.
Well, if you look in the 48 team league or 44,
right.
There's numerous soccer academies.
Oh,
sure.
And you play at their site because it's pre-professional.
Right, it's not professional.
It's pre-professional.
Yeah. I'm glad we're excited about it.
Yeah, I am. I am.
Go Minnesota. That's right. This day, score north. Go Minnesota.
They showed all those other teams that have failed. Yeah, well, wait till we win the pre-professional title. That's really proud of it.
Tormenta FC, Pat.
Oh, yeah.
High-level women's team in Statesboro, Georgia.
Okay. Is Tormenta from an academy? Do we know where their home is?
They were the South Central Division champs. I'm guessing they're an academy. I mean, they're from Statesboro, Georgia. Yeah, I'm guessing it's a...
Not familiar.
Wow. But who'd we beat in the semis? Who was yesterday's 1-0 victory against?
I thought they beat, wasn't Green Bay?
No, that was weeks ago.
They beat, is it McLean, I believe?
Who is it? Well, name what it is. What was the opponent?
Yeah, I'm looking at it. McLean.
McLean what?
I don't know.
Just says McLean.
What
they did? They disrespected us, and we used that as motivation to kick their ass.
Yeah, did they? Did they?
All right.
McLean, I got to look that up.
We'll do.
Okay. We'll get on it next week.
Yeah, we'll come back with it next week.
Tomorrow.
Whatever. All right.
Okay. Goodbye.
Bye.
You have heard me discuss my relationship with Josh Arnold for some time. The reason I advocate that you give Josh a call is simple. Trust and results. Josh has seen it all when it comes to economic and market conditions. As has been said, through all of our relationship, past results do not guarantee future returns. And while that is true, Josh can make sure that your retirement objectives match your investments. You can understand that Josh will make sure you are not paying more in fees than you are seeing in returns. Yes, that is more common than you would like to think. Do yourself a favor and have a booking with Josh for the 48-minute free evaluation. This is a no-obligation meeting. Call Josh at 952-925-5608. You will be glad that you did.
Investment services offered by Josh Arnold Investment Consultant, LLC, a security investment advisor. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. All investments involve risk. All comments and opinions are Josh Arnold's and do not constitute investment advice.
Patrick Royce is a paid endorser.
Hi, this is Daniel LaRue of the Real GM Radio Podcast. And while the NBA season is still pretty new. There are some interesting storylines going on, and for me, one of them is, let's call it a shift in expectations, because there are a couple teams that we expected to be not necessarily pushing the accelerator in the early going in the season, maybe seeing Victor Wembanyama and Scoot Henderson, this purportedly strong 2023 draft class, and going, hey, we could be a part of that, and that would be the Utah Jazz and the San Antonio Spurs. Both teams are over 500 with some nice wins, and this isn't fluky. They're playing well so far, and so we will see how they build on this, how they react to it. Do they keep pushing, see if we can keep going, or do they change directions through trades and everything else? So that'll be something to watch in this year where the draft class is strong and these teams have incentives going in both directions. Hi, this is Danny LaRue from the Real GM Radio Podcast. BetOnline.net is your number one source for betting football and the start of the new basketball season. Find all the latest player developments, matchups, news, in-depth analysis, and live betting and up-to-the-minute scores for every sport out there. Can check in on your favorite games and events, including the baseball playoffs, start of the hockey season, MMA, boxing, and golf, plus sports podcasts. So head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more at BetOnline, where the game starts.